We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast is here. Another weekend is almost upon us. I am half of your crew, Jason Perrone. You can follow me on X/Twitter, at Jason Perrone, along with me, as always, of Packer Report, is Mark Eckel. Mark, it's April already, yes, somehow.
It is. I don't know how that happened.
The month of the draft is here, so we will know who the Packers are adding as rookies within the next couple weeks. And then we have our draft coverage coming up here, which is going to be fun as well.
3 weeks from, if you're listening to us on Thursday, it's 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, from today. It'll be here before you know it. It'll be here before you know it. And
once the draft happens, it's like school. Like, you know, like when once a certain day hits, you know, school's almost out. It's like once the draft hits, the next thing you know, training camp hits.
Yeah.
And then the season hits. It's just the way it is. And we'll be talking about whatever, Jordan Love MVP season.
Yeah. Jordan Love MVP. Exactly. Well, and I mean, who knows? The NFC is once again open. The Packers are going to have an opportunity to compete. I mean, if they play like they did at the end of last season, then yeah, we're going to be talking about it, and it's going to be annoying everybody else who is hoping to get a longer break from the Packers being in the conversation, but it looks like they may be back in action.
Oh yeah. Well, before we start, we have a good topic today, but I got a question for you and for all our listeners. You can tweet me there or X me, whatever you do now, your answer. This is a personal thing, but he's my wife's grandson. So he's kind of like, I don't like to say he's my grandson because he's not, but you know, I treat him like one a little bit. He's turning two just after the draft.
Okay.
And I always buy him Packer stuff, right? I mean, he has, you know, from the time he was born, he's got all kind of little Packer. He has a football and he has a Packer little book that ABCs of Packers and jerseys, you know, little T-shirts and stuff. So I think it's time to get him a jersey, right?
Yeah.
2-year-old jersey.
Yeah.
So do I get him a Jordan Love jersey, or do I get him one with his name on it and a two?
I think there's probably some folks out there that have strong feelings about putting your own name on the back of a jersey. I've heard some very strong takes against doing that.
For an adult, yes. If you're 30, yes.
I mean, he's going to grow out of it really quickly. I think either is fine. I think either is fine.
What would you do?
I'd probably go with a player. Jordan Love's a good choice.
Just for the name itself, you know.
Right.
For a little kid wearing Love, it sounds, you know, Like, his mother won't even know. Probably, oh, that's all love. That's nice.
Yes. I mean, right. Yes.
But, yeah. If it's a jersey, it's going to be a love 10. But I was thinking maybe get his up. But I don't know. But I want help on that because I'm not a jersey guy.
Okay. Well, you are a New Jersey guy, but yes.
Yes, I am. I'm a Jersey boy. Right, I'm one of the Jersey boys, but I'm not a. Yeah, I don't like. I've never. I'm trying to think if I've ever owned. Somebody gave me a Donald Driver jersey, so I had it, but I never. I don't think I've ever bought a Packer jersey because I don't. I'm just not into. I'd rather wear like. I have a ton of like Packer polos and Packer pullovers and Packer sweatshirts,
T-shirts and all that. Yeah,
stuff like all different kind of, and they're pretty cool. A lot of them.
Yeah.
But I don't. But no, I'm not a. I never got into wearing. I did have an Aaron Rodgers Cal jersey.
Yeah.
That I got a pretty good. I saw somewhere and I thought it was pretty cool, so I got that. Yeah. In all sports, I'm not a. I had the Bart. I have the autographed Bart Starr jersey, but I never worn it. It's been framed and hung over my couch for God 30 some years now.
So I will tell you the jersey thing. We could have a long conversation about that because I've heard all sorts of different takes on having jerseys and all that kind of stuff. My friend Jake Westendorf, who's also one of our co-hosts here, he recently implemented a rule that said his jerseys from now on will either be players who are retired or have passed. So there's no chance that their jersey is going to change to another team or another number or anything else.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. So
see, I have the rule too. I have a couple. Well, like I said, I never wear one. But I don't think – I think once you turn a certain age, you shouldn't wear one either.
What is that age?
I'm not sure, but it's like, 30 maybe.
Wow, I've been violating that rule for years.
Yeah, you wear a jersey?
I do. Okay. I do. I wear a jersey. Yeah, in fact, I've had Jair
Wait. I take that back. If you go to the game, it's fine. But you wear it at home.
Well, no, I actually don't. I only wear my Packers jersey – if I'm watching a Packers game or I'm at a Packers game.
At the game, you're fine. I think at home, you should. I don't think you should wear it.
Well, I have a fun tradition.
But I started this all by saying I'd rather wear a pullover or the, whatever. But I know I'm in the minority because when I go to the sports bar to watch Packers, everybody has Packers. A lot of people have, jerseys. And I'll see everything from, 66, right, Nitschke to – Watson, it's everything's covered.
Yeah. I actually have a kind of a fun tradition while we're talking about it at home. So when I watch the games at home, I always lay out the jersey my dad used to wear on game days because he passed almost 9 years ago. And so I put that out as a, kind of a, it's him being with us when we're watching the game. Right. Cool. And then I don't put my Jair jersey on until after the Packers score their first touchdown. Not a field goal, has to be a touchdown. They have to score a touchdown. So until they score their first touchdown, I actually don't wear the jersey. It's there. I just don't put it on. It's a tradition thing. Now, if I go to a game and I'm at Lambeau, then I wear the jersey to the game and the tailgate and the pregame and all that kind of stuff too. But that's kind of my quirky jersey thing. But no, I don't outside of that. Like if I was going out to like some event, even if it was a Packers event or something like that, and it's not a game, I'd probably just wear I'd wear a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something like that, but I wouldn't wear the actual jersey itself.
I have a similar to your, you don't put the jersey on until they score. If I'm at now if I'm home by myself, it doesn't matter. But I mean, if I'm at a bar watching it with friends, or if I'm at a friend's house and they have like a little party going on or something, I don't eat until they score.
No. Wow. That could get – so you could get
hungry,
a little hangry if the game doesn't –
I could get really hungry.
If the game doesn't go well, you could get a little bit hangry.
But I count a field goal counts. A field goal counts.
Yeah.
But, I don't eat 20 score.
Okay. Well, field goals, mine's a touchdown. It's got to be a TD.
All right. Okay.
It's got to be a TD. So,
again, I would appreciate from, longtime fans, people that are into wearing, you're buying kids. I remember 2 years old, turning 2 years old. The day after the draft, should I get him a love jersey, number 10?
Or I think if you're talking about, especially that young, I don't think you can go wrong.
Oh no, I don't think I can, but I just want to know. And if it's 50, I hope it's not 50-50 because then I won't know what to do. But I just want to know what Packer fans think I should do.
Well, I think like for the simple fact of like you go with Jordan Love, because then when they look back on the picture, then you know that could end up being, especially if he has a great career, that could end up being right. A really special picture that he keeps for his entire life.
Exactly.
It would be like if infant Mark Eckel like got a Bart Starger.
Bart Starger.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, my daughter, now when my daughter was a baby, she had a bunch of Favre stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm thinking, but I never thought to get her own. Well, she was a girl too. I never bought her an actual jersey.
Yep.
I bought her like little, like Favre. It was like girly Favre stuff.
Yep.
It wasn't an actual Favre jersey. It was like whatever. It had Brett Favre's picture on it or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. JJ had I'm trying to think, when he was an infant, we did a little baby photo shoot. A friend of ours was a photographer and she said, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, come do a little montage, and you know, she didn't charge us for it or anything. She was just like, I'll take pictures of him for you. And he was in a little Packers jersey, and he was so tiny that it was like he was like swimming in it because he was a baby. And I'm pretty sure now I feel like a bad dad because I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was a Rodgers jersey.
Yeah. How old is JJ now?
He's 10 now, but
Rodgers would have been.
He'll be 11 soon, but yeah, he's born in 2013, so that was definitely Aaron Rodgers season.
Right.
So, right. But yeah, that's an interesting one. I would love to hear what our group thinks about that, and if they have any thoughts on jersey wearing. I mean, if you go to a Packers game, there's obviously tons of jerseys. I mean, anywhere you go, really. If you go to a sporting event or anything like that, what's interesting to me is I tend to see at non-Packers related sporting events, there tend to be a Packers jersey or two that makes its way into that venue. I swear to you, I used to always see one like Favre jersey. Somebody was always wearing a Favre jersey, and even if it wasn't a Packers event or if it would be like a random Cardinals game between the Cardinals and some other team. And there would be, now that's another thing I'm sure you probably are not a fan of, is if you're not going to see the team that you have the jersey of, you shouldn't wear the jersey if it's not that team. But I've also
unless you're making a point.
I've broken that rule though, because I went to the first game that was ever held in Glendale for the Cardinals when they opened up this new stadium back in 2006. I wore it was the mm-hmm. Steelers and Cardinals in preseason, and I wore my AJ Hawk jersey because I'd just gotten it, and I was really excited about Hawk being drafted, and so I like couldn't wait to debut that jersey. But Cardinals fans were very quick to remind me that the Packers were not playing on that day, so. Right. I was quickly told.
Like I would wear Packers stuff if I went to a Panther game down here. If I went to a Panther Bears game or a Panthers Vikings game,
mm-hmm.
I might wear Packers just to show them, just to say, hey, I'm not a Panther fan, but I'm rooting against you. I'm rooting against the Vikings. I'm rooting against the Bears. Whatever.
Right. Right.
I'm a Packer. I'm here representing.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. No, make your point, and you know, do your thing. It's fanhood. It's football, and you know, to be clear, we're not obviously telling anybody how to fan or anything like that. But so our topic today is going to be the two biggest needs for the Packers going into the draft, and then the one least pressing need for the Green Bay Packers. So this could be both just in general. It doesn't have to necessarily be draft related. So we're not saying that these two biggest needs should be their first draft picks, but these are just the two biggest needs a team has. And then what is the one position or one area where the Packers don't have, you know, have the least,
they should ignore. Least they press, should ignore that position.
Right. Least pressing need. So Mark, we'll let you lead us off with one of your two biggest. I don't know if you're going to go with the biggest or the second biggest.
Yeah, I'll go with the biggest. I'll start with the biggest because I really don't think it's that close, but I see other people saying other positions, and I feel, you know, I'm not disagreeing that it's a need, but I think their biggest need without a doubt is linebacker. They're going to a 4-3. So they're going to need three line, you know, in their base, they're going to have three linebackers on the field at certain times. And keep in mind, you know, Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith and Lucas Van Ness, they're not linebackers anymore. They're defensive ends now on the 4-3. Right. So really, you have Quay Walker, who I like a lot. I like him more than most people. McDuffie, who he's a big, you know, he may, you know, Halfley knows him very well because he coached him at Boston College. So he may play more than he has in the past. But for the most part, he's been a reliable backup his first 3 years in the league. he's not your, you know, now could he be in this deep? I don't know. Well, that's a question that we'll learn during camp and preseason and all that. And then you have special team guys. Eric Wilson, the Welsh kid, they were signed because they're good on special teams, not to play linebacker. So, yeah, I think the number one need is to get – I think they need at least two more linebackers, one of whom can come in and start. Because even if McDuffie is good enough to start, all right, you got Walker, you got McDuffie, and you need a third starter. I don't think Wilson or I don't think the special team guys are ready to be starting linebackers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been around long enough now that if they were, they would be starters by now. So, yeah, I think it's not even – I don't think it's close. I think that is by far the number one need on this team.
Okay, so you're going linebacker.
Linebacker.
Okay, so obviously before Xavier McKinney was signed, safety was the obvious and easy low-hanging fruit answer. But since he was signed, it's almost like safety has moved not just one or two pegs, maybe a few pegs down in the pecking order. Linebacker, I agree with you. Obviously, that's a big one that's on the radar. They've got a lot of retooling, restocking to do in that area. I'm going to go corner because, really? And it's because of the question marks. It's because of the question marks. Like, I understand that, like, oh, you know, if so-and-so gets hurt, then what, right? You have to have backups, you have to have depth and all that kind of stuff, too. But I'm just saying, like, Jair, because corner is also a position that you don't want to have to address on the fly. And so with Jair not being under contract forever, Eric Stokes, we don't know if he's ever going to be the player they thought he was going to be. Keyshawn Nixon is not your we'll see if Halfley can turn him into do something more than Joe Barry's defense did. With him, we talked quite a bit about Keyshawn Nixon last week and recently as well too. But is he really a good nickelback? I don't know. I really don't know. But I think that very quickly, and Carrington Valentine and Corey Valentine, those guys they're okay. But we don't know if they're going to blossom into really good, reliable starters. We could very quickly find that corner is an extreme strength of this team by the time this season starts. But I just think because that's not a position that you want to get stuck having to restock and retool a bunch of all at one time. Then I'm going to say, I'm going to go corner. Well, also because I didn't want to pick linebacker as well, because because you made a good case for it, and linebacker is obviously a really good choice there. I mean, Isaiah McDuffie, to break down more of what you were talking about there too. Isaiah McDuffie is not really scaring anybody, and that doesn't mean that not all guys on defense are going to do that. You know, if you have 11 guys that are scary, then you probably have one of the historically best defenses in the NFL history. Right, we're talking like the '96 Packers. And, you know, that's not what we have here. But I think that they obviously need to upgrade there. And so, yeah, linebackers is a really good choice. But corner's just one where I'm like, hey, if you're a forward-looking GM, which Brian Gutekunst has proven to very much be that, not just next year, but 2 years, 3 years down the road, then corner's going to creep up on this team and become a pretty big need. Because I don't think they're going to give Jair a third contract. And so when that deal expires, then you're gonna have to move on from him and figure out what you're doing there. Eric, again, Stokes may not prove to be a solid other outside guy. So then that means you're rolling with Carrington Valentine more on the outside. Is he ready to take that year 2 jump? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if you want to bet on that at this point right now. I just think it's because of the question marks. And I don't know if that makes sense. What is your take on my stance there in corner?
Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off. But I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my PrizePicks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt, and if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me, it's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm a little surprised you went there, but I see what you're saying. I mean, you're right. You could be, if those question marks get answered positively, then you didn't need one. I mean, if Stokes turns out to be healthy and playing like he did as a rookie, then everybody's happy, right? And if Carrington Valentine, who had a really outstanding rookie year for a seventh round pick, when he was drafted, no one thought he was even going to play much, but here he had to start a lot of games and played pretty well. Yeah. If he does continue to develop and turns out to be, you know, just gets better and better, and Jair is Jair for at least whatever many years he has left on his contract, and even Ballantyne, if he's just okay as your fourth corner, and Nixon, you know, becomes a good fit. Now Nixon's still young, you know, he's not like he's old. If he becomes a good fit in Halfley's defense, then, you know, that's a lot of ifs. I'm asking for a lot of questions to be answered positively. Then it isn't a need. But you're right. If one or two or three of those aren't answered that way, if they're answered, if Stokes isn't healthy, if Jair isn't Jair, if Nixon can't adapt, if Valentine was just a flash in the pan, 1 year wonder kind of guy, well, yeah, then without a doubt they should take a corner at 25. You know, right? Yeah, I mean that's, but there's questions there, and like we said, if the questions, it depends on how those questions are answered. I went to linebacker because I don't even think there's questions. I think there's just, you need another guy, at least one more, if not two more.
Yeah, I mean, so Jair's current contract goes through 26.
Okay.
So which is his age 20. Now he's 27 years old. So his age 29 season he's under contract for, but they have a potential out after in 2025. I mean, there's quite a bit of dead cap that they would have to eat. He's got a $19 million dead cap number next year, and then a $10 million dead cap in 26 as it currently stands. So
they probably, if things go well, if he keeps, you know, if he returns to form, and you know, they probably keep him until the end of his until the end of his contract, and then they'll see. Usually, you know, the 30 when that's that magic number.
Yeah,
you don't always keep guys after they turn 30 to a big time, you know, big money contract. So
yeah, and also when you sign a guy to a longer deal or a longer term deal, by the time you get to the end of that deal, then the team is always benefiting from it because the contract is probably outdated. So the player is being, you know, they're it's a value for the team, and even still, the Packers might still go to Jair and ask him to restructure, because it just seems to be the thing that they do. They're always trying to create extra cap, every extra space, or they can convert some of his salary into bonus, which is something they don't need his permission to do, and then he just gets all that money up front, and then they can prorate it and spread it out like they usually do and stuff like that too. But I just think corner, you just don't want to get caught being a competitive team
No, you're right.
And being stuck at a premium position where you're like, hey, there could be a lot of bad surprises in store for the Packers this year if Carrington Valentine proves not to be that good. If Eric Stokes just can't get back and play and his speed is gone, and the reason that they brought him in is not there, and if Jair has an average season, for example, all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're like, man, we are, you know, razor thin now at a position that, you know, you would like to think that I think they'll be okay. I think they're okay right now. I think my thought for this team is just set up so well, because if you look at the offensive side of the ball, they've got all these wide receivers that are young and on cheap contracts. They've got Jordan Love, who they're going to pay, and they're set at quarterback. They got the running back situation figured out with Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones has moved on. A.J. Dillon is back. All the young tight ends. There's an entire side of the ball, Mark, that's kind of almost like more or less eliminated from this conversation of need or pressing need, except for the depth on the interior offensive line. But the offense largely is set. It's kind of nice to look through this and say, like, hey, there's like an entire, you know, one side of this team, a faction of this team that we don't really have to worry about. Now, I say that, and as I'm about to ask you for, now, do we want to go with our next biggest need, or do we want to go to the smallest and then go back?
No, let's go second biggest, and we'll do smallest.
So, yes, and you may surprise me and go offense here and completely dispel my theory.
Let me just add one thing to your corner. Needing a corner. If you look at that, if you look within the NFC North, you got Justin Jefferson and
St. Brown.
I think of Jordan Addison
mm-hmm.
in Minnesota.
Yep.
Two very good wide receivers. You have St. Brown
and Jameson Williams. Yep.
In Detroit, two very good wide receivers. Williams, if he can stay on the field.
Yep.
And then the Bears just added Keenan Allen to go with DJ Moore. So your three competitors within the division all have two very good wide receivers. I mean, that's the NFC. But by the way, and we'll save this for down the road, you know, the NFC North might be the best division in the I think it is the best division in the NFC now.
Yeah, it very well could be. It's going to be it's going to be very competitive.
It's the best. I think it's the best division. But anyway, my second biggest need, and this tells you just how good I think the team is offensive line. Mainly, like you said, it could be only, again, I'm looking at numbers. You know, they lost three offensive linemen. David Bakhtiari was released because of his injury factor. Yosh Niemann left as a free agent, signed with Carolina. And John Runyon left as a free agent and signed with the New York Giants. So they need bodies. It's another big if Sean Ryan can be the guy at right guard, okay, the starters are fine. But there's very little in terms of depth. I mean, you have your top backup tackle is Caleb Jones, who I happen to like from what I've seen of him, but it's only been in a handful of preseason games. He's never played a regular season game, so we don't know we don't know nothing about him really, other than a few, like I said, a few games in preseason, a few plays in preseason. The backup guards is Royce Newman, who a lot of people think won't even be on the team when the season starts. Mm-hmm. And there's no backup center. I mean, I guess the backup center would be Elton Jenkins or Zach Tom, but then you're creating an opening somewhere else. So
yep.
They just need bodies. I don't think they need to take an offensive lineman in the first round like a lot of people do. And I mean, I won't get upset if a guy that they really like falls with 25 and they take him. Well, okay, I'm not going to question them on doing that. But they've gotten some very good linemen in rounds 2, 4, 5, 7. I think they'll do that again. I think the Packers will draft at least three linemen out of their 11 if they keep all 11 picks. I think at least three of them will be linemen, and they'll be, you know, a couple day two guys, a couple maybe day one, day two, a couple day three, whatever. However they decide to break. It'll depend on how the board falls, obviously.
But yep.
Yeah, I think they need, and we're talking about needs, I think they need bodies. They need some, you know, offensive linemen get hurt too. I mean, you know, they've been lucky in some ways that they've had guys that are durable. But, you know, even if you miss a game or two, right now they have very little in terms of depth.
Yeah, so I'm going to go, we're going to kind of echo each other here. I'm going to specifically say the interior of the offensive line.
Okay.
The interior offensive line, guard, center, they need some depth. They have to figure out what's going on there. I keep seeing these different ideas about shuffling the line around, and if they can find, like, for example, I keep seeing if they can find a really good center in the draft and the kid comes in and can prove that they can play right away, then you could maybe move Josh Myers to guard or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know. But I don't know that I love that idea. I mean, maybe if the Packers already know that he could play guard. I mean, I guess that's interesting. I also heard another theory about if the Packers end up finding a really good tackle, or they find a really good tackle, then maybe you kick Zach Tom in to guard. And I'm like, if you have a really good, and I'll just say this. If you have a really good tackle in Zach Tom, then he plays tackle straight up.
Yes.
Like if you find a good tackle, don't screw with it and make him a guard, right? Let him play tackle and be good at, and be good at that. Because, and I think that the Packers learned the opposite with Elgton Jenkins. He's a really good guard. And when they had to kick him out to tackle, he did okay, but there were some, you know, spots where he struggled a little bit too. They need some depth. And you said Royce Newman may not be. I hope not. I think that experiment needs to go. Now, I know that you've reminded me several times that he has played a lot of games, and yes, he has. And you could do worse than Royce Newman, but I think the Packers also realize, like, we can't be screwing around with a very average to below average offensive lineman here when we're a competitive team. We're not rebuilding anymore. We're not trying to reload. We need to get guys that can come in and play. And listen, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'm puffing my chest out and saying, look, if my strategy is to go into this draft, and they have 11 picks, and I hope they're not going to make 11 picks, but they have 11 picks. If my strategy going into this draft is, and I'm Goody, and I'm going to take three offensive linemen, for example, I'm puffing my chest out and saying, like, hey, I might just wait till the fourth, fifth, sixth round to do that, because I'm good at doing that. I'm good at finding those guys. And why not? That bodes well for the Packers. You have to, you know, there's the positional value. There's the value of the player. There's the, what is the need and how do you solve that need? So for example, you might find a tackle that's going to play 10 years for you in the second round and beyond. But typically if you need a 10 year plus tackle, you need to take those guys in the first round. If you need a franchise quarterback, you usually need to make that pick within the first 10 picks of the draft. There's just certain things that you can't count on working later. But the Packers are in good, to the interior of the offensive line. Now, I will ask you this too, Mark, and I think I already know your answer, because you've talked to a lot of scouts. You've got your series that's up now. It's coming up at Packer Report, where you've got the scouting takes on the draft and some of these players and stuff like that too. The interior offensive linemen, I know that they get drafted in the first round every year. They start getting picked in like the 20s. You start seeing like really good guards and centers getting picked in like the later first round. That has not been the way that the Packers have rolled. In fact, I think the last time they took a guard in the first round was Aaron Taylor back in 1994. So I'm assuming if it's interior offensive line, you don't need to see that at pick 25, for example.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, and I'll just give you a little, I'll give the listeners a little advance from the scouts that I talked to and the story that I have come in later this, I don't know when the guards run next, later this week or early next week. This is a very good, very good center guard draft. I had one scout tell me it's the first time he can remember that there are more good guards and centers than there are tackles.
Yeah, which is not
in the draft. So the Packers can wait. They'll be good guards in the third. I mean, they'll get a good guard throughout. I mean, they can get one in the fourth round. I mean, if obviously the better ones will, but like you said, the way they've been successful. I mean, Jenkins was a second, but John Runyon, who played what, 3 years, started 3 years for him, was a sixth round pick. Did a pretty good, and now he got a $10 million a year contract.
Yeah.
With the Giants.
Yep.
Sixth round pick. Back to Diari, we're going back a little bit now. Tackle, fourth round pick. Rashid Walker, seventh round pick. Josh Neiman, who got a deal, you know, he wasn't a star by any means, but he saw, you know, played some games, started some games on good teams. He wouldn't even draft. So the Packers, they have a way of finding, and not just finding them. Give the coaches some credit too. They developed them. I mean, I'm sure if you talk to Runyon or Walker back to the yard, they got drafted where they were kind of supposed to get drafted. Not really Walker. Everybody thought Walker was going to be higher. There's a reason he slipped to the seventh, and I'm not sure why. But the coaching staff helped these guys along the way to get better than where they were drafted. Somebody helped John Runyon, whether it was Stenovich, Buckus, whoever, helped him become a you know, a much better player than the average sixth round pick. Same with Walker in the seventh, and you know, Zach Tom in the fourth. I mean, so yeah, they've done well there. Now it's funny you say you have to pick a quarterback in the top 10 picks. Favre, Rodgers, and Love were all picked later than that.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, right. Outliers. Yeah, not only have the Packers done really well, they've outliered their way all the way through. I mean, I don't know. I guess because Favre was drafted in the second round, right?
Very early.
By the Falcons. Yeah. So yeah, outlier there. But again, the Packers also, and we're talking about the draft right now. The Packers also set themselves up to not have to press. Like for example, right now. The Vikings and the Bears, they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. So they're going to have to take a guy in this draft to draft and turn into the quarterback. There's a difference between drafting a quarterback and drafting the quarterback. And the way that the Bears and the Vikings are doing it right now, they're having to draft a quarterback. The Packers were able to draft the quarterback because they didn't have to press. And I know there were a lot of different things that happened and a lot of moving parts. But again, they've never had to draft a quarterback and hope and pray. And I don't think that's how they'll ever operate. As long as this GM is in place, when it's time to replace Jordan Love, if Gutekunst is still around, he's going to take somebody before Love is done or before he has to throw the guy out there.
Even if it's not Gutekunst, whoever takes over because he learned. From watching Ted, so whoever takes over for Brian eventually, hopefully that's a long time down the road. But yeah, the Packers will do that again. They'll take another quarterback. He'll sit behind Love for a couple years.
Right.
Love will go a little crazy. They'll trade Love to the Jets. We all know what's going to happen.
Yes.
No matter what.
It's insane to me too that the Jets have had all these different GMs and coaches, and it's the same strategy. They can't resist coming after or working with the Packers. They want all these Packers castaways. So, well, I don't think anybody's going to argue with our offensive line thing there too. But again, the good news is this GM and scouting team and personnel department has done a really good job of stocking the cupboard there. And I think they'll do that. Now, I will say,
let me get this real quick. Before you change the subject, one thing that Brian Gutekunst does, and I know, I mean, he never said he does this, so no one's, I'm not sure if he's even been asked, but I've picked up on this. He looks ahead. Yeah. He looks like that. Like this is a 2024 draft coming up. He knows what's going on He already knows what's going on in the 2025 draft. He won't say that. No one's ever asked him about it, but like they didn't take an offensive lineman at all last year. They didn't draft one. They had 12.
That's right.
Whatever. They
did. 12 That's picks. Right.
He didn't draft a one. Mm-hmm. And I think it was twofold. One is they had a lot of offensive linemen last year. They were pretty deep. And it was a bad year for. It was not a good offensive line draft last year. It just wasn't. There were a couple decent ones, but even the ones that got drafted high didn't exactly light the world on fire last year. And especially the lower one certainly didn't. But I think he knew that this year's draft was going to be loaded with offensive linemen. So he didn't take any last year, knowing that he's going to take three or so this year. Mm-hmm. He's done that with other positions as well. Like it's funny, like we mentioned his needs, corner. This is a very good corner draft. So if you're right, if they agree with you that they need a corner, there's a lot of corners, and they could probably get one. They could probably get a real good one in the second and third. But there's multiple picks in the second and third rounds. They can come up with one there, a good one there.
Oh, definitely. If the board falls a certain way, I won't be surprised if they're taking another one in the first round this year.
They could. They could, because offense is going to go early in this draft. I mean, there could be five or six quarterbacks off the board before the Packers pick.
Yep.
And another five wide receivers off the board before the Packers pick. So that would be like 10 players off the board that they probably wouldn't, you know, I can't say wouldn't, but, you know, that's 10 players that doesn't fit one of their bigger needs off the board. That there's going to be some good defensive players. Playoff teams, the teams that made the playoffs, so picking from like 19 down, are going to be able to help their defense a lot this year, I think, because I think a lot of good defensive players are going to get pushed down from where they would normally go down into the teens and 20s because of the quarterbacks and wide receivers that are going to go early.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, those first round picks or those first round positions where you can get a lot of bang there, and the Packers already know how they feel about these players. Like that, the Carrington Valentine and the Corey Ballantyne and the Eric Stokes, they already know how they feel about that. So they'll tell us with their draft picks and how that whole thing plays out, how they see it. But you make a really good point about offensive line. I think they're going to stock up here. They have to.
Oh, yeah.
And you do that in the draft. There's certain positions in the draft where you can absolutely stock that up. Now, what I was going to say before was that safety is not as pressing of a need anymore now that Xavier McKinney is in the fold, but I still think, you know, you don't want to just throw, like, for example, if they end up bringing Rudy Ford back and
they're not gonna do that.
They put him, I'm just saying, for example, if they were to bring him back and just put him next to McKinney and say, hey, we got one stud safety, like we can survive with, you know, somebody else there or whatever. Like they need to definitely pay attention to that position group there. I think, and again, like you've said too, the special teams, there's a lot of safeties that play on special teams too. So they're going to have to restock the cupboard there a little bit. And they might already like Anthony Johnson Jr. I can tell you right now, spoiler alert, if we do a show on like players we expect to make a second year jump or need to make a second year jump, he's going to be one of the highest on my list.
But that's the guy that I'm real curious to. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, guys, that, you know, like the Rashid Walker of this year. And I we'll see if they don't take a safety real early. And I'm not saying first round, because I don't think there's a safety in this draft worth taking in the first round. But even if they wait till whatever, they might think Anthony Johnson is good enough to start next year. Mm-hmm. To McKinney. I mean, Johnson played 300 snaps last year on defense.
Yeah. And,
no, he had that one interception. I can't say that I watched him and said, wow, this guy is really good. Like Valentine, there were games where I said, wow, this guy's really good. I didn't say that about Johnson, but I didn't also say, man, this guy Johnson's killing him.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I think he kind of moved ahead of Ford. I mean, Ford wasn't even playing at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think Ford isn't back. I think Johnson moved ahead of him. But we'll see. I mean, if they do draft a safety with the 41st pick or something, then we know that, okay, never mind. They like this guy better. So so you go first on this one. What position do you think are there the least need of?
Well, I'm going to go quarterback, because I think you've got your quarterback of the future, and they like Sean Clifford as the backup there. And so I know that they've said it, and it sounds like Brian Gutekunst might take a stab at another quarterback in the draft at some point. And I'm assuming that's not going to take place in the top of the draft. I think we're talking day three
if
the Packers draft a QB there. So and if Love gets hurt, sure, you could sit here and say it becomes a very pressing need, but I don't think that's the point of this exercise. It's how stable is the position, and so I'm gonna go with quarterback. I guess I could have gone with place kicker too, because it's like, well, they've got Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. If one of those two don't make it, then from a contract standpoint, the Packers are set up really nicely. They don't have a lot of money on the line with these kickers, right? But I'll go quarterback. I think that's the I mean, sure, add another body and see if you can find somebody to run the scout team or anything like that. But I think they like where they're at, and they're pretty set there, fortunately. You know, again, thank goodness that's a position the Packers don't need to reach for or stretch for in this particular draft. So I'll go quarterback. Now, I know that we typically tend to move in different directions for the sake of the conversation. So I don't know if you're planning on going quarterback or if you're looking elsewhere.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I wouldn't take a quarterback. I think they are, because he said they are. So I'll take him for his word that somewhere on day three, they'll draft a second tier type quarterback like they did with Clifford, and let him and Clifford battle a little bit. And Clifford will probably win because of his experience. But I'm going to go with a position that some people are saying that they should take one. Like, I think they're way off base here, is tight end. The last thing this team needs is another young tight end. And again, I'm going to give Brian Gutekunst credit here. He drafted two very early last year, second round, third round. He took Musgrave and Kraft. Both of them played pretty well as rookies. Then he got Ben Sims after final cuts, who did a pretty good job as your number three.
Yeah.
Mostly blocking, did catch a touchdown pass, played a little special teams. And again, this year's draft of tight ends is like last year was the year. If you wanted a tight end, last year was the year to get one. You had to, you know, the two the Packers took. You had LaPorta that had a great year for the Lions. You had Kincaid, who had a very good year for the Bills. Meyer, who did okay with the Raiders. Was he with the Raiders? He had the Raiders. Dallas took Spoonhauer, who didn't do quite as well as the rest of them, but I'm sure they think that they're not giving up on him. I'm sure they like him. So, I mean, it was a very, very good tight end. I'm probably leaving somebody out. So there's that big giant that the Steelers took, Washington. It was a great year. It was probably the best tight end year, maybe ever. I don't know. It was a hell of a year for tight ends. This year, not so much. Mm-hmm. Even the one that everyone raves about, Brock Bowers, I have scouts telling me he's okay. He'll go this year because he's the best of the bunch, but they don't think he's as good as the guy. They don't think he's as good as Musgrave or LaPorta, any of the guys from last year. So, they lost DeGuara. He just signed with Jacksonville. Good for him. I'm happy. He seems like a nice kid. I'm happy he got a job. They're not losing anything with him. He was playing like six snaps by the end of the year. I think they can spread those six snaps out among, the other guys. Mm-hmm. And they re-signed Davis, who's, is going to play special teams mostly, but they're not going to carry five tight ends.
Right.
So
no, I don't think
they like the three young kids, and they got Davis as a veteran special teams guy. And he might pick up some snaps, here and there on offense if they want to go multiple tight end looks and stuff. So yeah, I think tight end is one position where they are. They're young. They're good, and yeah, they're set up for a long time.
No,
I wouldn't look at tight ends in this draft.
No, I think so. I think so as well. It's a body type you like for special teams. There's some other reasons why you might want to get some depth there, but they've got two really good solid guys there. Like you said, you bring back Tyler Davis. Yeah, I think that's also a good place to go. And again, no surprise, it's on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they've set themselves up so nicely on offense there that you attack defense, and hopefully they can finally get this thing down, get a culture of taking the ball away, get some get some nasty back in the Packers defense, and get after this ring thing and try and take down San Francisco or whoever it is going to be this year, and try and get back into the fold of the best of the NFC and in the NFL. So this, I mean, listen, again, we only have 3 weeks until the actual draft itself happens. So there's going to be a lot more conversation that's going to take place, and I'm here for it and I look forward to it. But I know you alluded to it a little bit before, as far as Packer Report, where are we at at Packer over there, as far as what's up with you and the content?
Okay. So this week, my draft series started on Tuesday. Well, actually Monday I had a story up on, the Packers had the 25th pick of the draft, as we all know. They may or may not keep it, but as of today, they still have the 25th pick. So I just went back and looked at the last 10 players picked at number 25. And there's been some pretty good players. So the story, the basic point of the story was, you can get a pretty good player at 25. And I did a little recap on those 10 guys and how they've done. So then starting Tuesday was my, I have three scouts. Two from the NFC, one from the AFC, and I kind of polled them. I talked to them about each player, each position. I asked them for their top five players at each five. Who are your top five quarterbacks in order? And then I kind of like, you know, graded them out, like, you know, 5 points for the, if you, for the guy number one, 1 point for the guy that you said fifth. And then I ranked the top five players according to those three guys at each position. And then I did a little thing, you know, what the Packers might do at this position. So that started Tuesday with quarterbacks. And then I think running backs ran Wednesday, and today, Thursday, would be wide receivers. Tight ends will come tomorrow. And then, yeah, so the offensive line will be next. We'll start up next week. It'll run every day, Monday through Thursday, between now and the day of the draft.
And again, we only have 3 weeks until the draft comes up, so it's coming up fast. It'll be here before you know it. There'll be more good content here at Pack-A-Day with regard to the draft and draft series, player breakdowns, and all that other kind of stuff. So stay locked in over here and on what the team is doing. And in the meantime, if there's any news or nuggets or notes or anything of noteworthy that happens, you'll have another Quick Slants podcast over at Game On Wisconsin. Otherwise, you and I will be back at it again next week. Hope everybody, thanks for riding along with us this week. Stick with us, and we'll be back again next week. Everyone have a good rest of your time here. Hope the weather is shaping up nicely wherever you're at. If anybody wants to send us the weather where they're at, we can do a little bit of a throwback. Why not, right? Hope everyone's week is winding down well. And as always, go Pack, go.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.